Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 93 of Classic Elite. My name is Scott, and I am joined here with Vogue Nasty and Gooch. What is going on, guys?
Not much. Pretty excited about Gaming on Batteries that just released.
Yeah, Gaming on Batteries. It's the new electronic magazine, right?
Yeah. It's cool. Also available. You can get a print issue as well.
Oh, really? Yeah. Where else can you get it?
MacCloud, but if you go to gamingonbatteries.com, the website, they'll have it up there. So,
very, very cool. Well, that's issue one, and that is what it implies. It's about handheld gaming, so definitely check that out.
And if you buy, sorry to interrupt, but if you buy a print copy, you get a digital copy with it free.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I like that. Gooch, what's new with you, man?
Nothing much. Going broke. Steam sale. All that.
See, now, you've gone crazy with the Steam sale. I still have not. Dustin, how have you done with the Steam sale, man?
I'm pinching pennies waiting for Solomon to get here.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, is that the...
Iggy, sorry.
Okay, is that a real name, or is that a reference to Castlevania?
What's going on? That's his real name, Solomon.
Okay, all right, there you go. Very cool. Well, Iggy is what we're going with here. You lost my train of thought, man. Okay, yeah, Steam Sale, you're pinching pennies. So have you picked up anything on Steam Sale?
Nope.
Nothing? Nothing at all?
Nothing at all.
I'll have to gift you something. Man, can't go without any Steam Sales.
That sounds like a threat. I'm going to buy you something. You're going to like it. You piece of shit, you're going to love it.
I've only bought two games so far. So, Gooch, since you've actually taken real advantage of Steam Sale, let's get into what you've actually been picking up.
See, it makes it sound grander than what it is, but no, I picked up, let me look at my Steam thing here. I got Fallout New Vegas. So, I
almost picked that up, but it's so buggy. I've heard such bad things about it that even for $5, I didn't pull the trigger.
I heard it was very buggy at launch, and I'm sure it's still very buggy now, but it's better. Anyway, $5, I thought I'll get my $5 out of it. I'll play up till I see some kind of freaky fish person, and then I'll turn the game off. But I'm excited to try it out, you know. I picked up, what's that other one? Audio Surf?
Yeah, which we need to do something, all of us.
We've
been selecting with that.
Which we talked a little bit when I was at work the other day. We were on the Messenger, and you were giving me some ideas on songs to play and maybe some stuff to record. And I'm trying to, like, right now I'm in the process of, like, filling out a folder of songs to play, because I don't want to start the game until I have, like, 100 songs that I want to, you know.
Oh, that'd be easy.
You think that way, but then I'm like, oh, man, what do I pick?
I'll send you 100 songs. That's no problem. I'll take all the effort out of it for you.
Awesome.
Dustin, have you played much Audio Surf? I've only put probably about an hour into it.
I'm about the same. Yeah, I've been. I wanted to do some stuff with like Richie Branson music and Ensnare, all the guys that we featured.
Yeah, I played Ensnare and some Cubby, but that's about it. Other stuff, it just keeps getting put down on the priority list. So, well, now that we all have it, there's no excuse. We can get something out. Well, sweet. What else did you pick up, Josh?
I picked up, what's the name of the game? Orcs Must Die.
That has me intrigued.
It looks like so much fun. It's the sort of tower defense-esque where I haven't played it yet. I'm saving that one up for like a rainy day.
Cool.
But yeah, you know, you have like your one area and there's like a portal and these orcs keep flooding in and you got to stop them and they come in waves and... With each wave, or should say in between the waves, depending on how you did, you get money and you buy traps and upgrades, and it just looks like a riot. And the new one's coming out, and it has multiplayer, which I think just looks bananas.
Really? So Orcs Must Die is not multiplayer?
It is not. The sequel, it will have multiplayer.
Yeah.
Just two-player that I'm aware of, maybe more. It's on 360, and that's like 10 or 15 bucks, and I got it for like... $3?
Sweet. Yeah, I saw a lot of people, that's real popular on that list of, that like section on Steam Store, where it says games your friends bought, Orcs Must Die is real popular.
Yeah, I hear it's phenomenal. The PC gamer guys were really talking it up when it first came out. So, you know, taking the plunge. And I also, I haven't bought it yet, but I think I'm going to buy Civ 5 before it ends. Like, at some point in the show, when we take a break or when you guys are in a heated discussion, I'm going to hit mute, sneak, grab my credit card, come back and buy it.
What? Okay. Why do you have reservations? And then why might you actually get the game?
I don't know that I'm going to like it as much as I should, if that makes sense. It's such a deep, you know, turn-based strategy game that has all this history behind it, not just in the series, but like actual history, you know, George Washington and Gandhi and all these figures in the game that act as your advisors. And
they come in San Diego? No, I'm kidding.
No, yeah, maybe. Hell, I don't know. Yeah, no, it looks great, and I hear nothing but great things about it, and it looks pretty, and I hear it's so much easier to get into this one than the previous games, but I also hear games can take, like, hours and hours to play through.
Is it a simulation game? Is that what the Civ games are, like a SimCity type of game?
Kind of, sort of, but not even... No, it's a, how do I, think of it like turn-based StarCraft in a way, like in terms of like the interface and how you're interacting with it.
Okay.
It's a real-time strategy game that is turn-based. And,
interesting.
You're always playing against someone else or multiple people. And the way you win, it can be multiple ways. You can win by building up armies and then, you know, taking the other guy on and defeating him. You can win by, you know, building your civilization up from, like, literally, like, caveman-esque type people all the way up to the space age where they're exploring the galaxy. And that would be a win. I don't know what they call that. It's like a scientific win or something. So it's not just about brute force. You can win in other ways. And you're constantly having to think, you know, what do I want to do to inspire my people? Or how do I want to build these armies? Or, you know, where do I want to set this city at? So, you know, do I want to set the city near the ocean so I can have, you know, access to the waterways, not just for transporting stuff to my other city, but maybe to, hell, I don't know, build a navy.
Okay.
I don't know. It sounds neat. Like, I'm talking about it. And
really, I was just going to say, you're not selling me at all. It sounds hard.
Sounds
like a lot.
Sounds super hard. And if anyone loves stuff that's super hard, it's me. Yeah, I did that one on purpose. That was not...
Because you like Dark Souls, right? Because
I like Dark Souls.
Yeah.
I like a real hard Dark Soul. Can't wait to get my hands on it.
You're stuck on the phallic reference until we're actually like penis joke.
Yeah.
You get...
Wiener. All right, yeah. No, it's for $7, it's a $30 game. There's a bunch of cool stuff. And it actually uses the Steam Workshop. So there are mods. People make their own civilizations.
Oh, that's cool.
And there's an expansion, which isn't included in this pack, but you can buy it on sale. I'm still iffy on it. It's like Gods and Kings, and it actually incorporates religion into your civilization.
And this is only $5 right now, right? Is that
like,
what you're...
It's like $7 or $8. I can't get it.
You just might as well. But that's worth trying it. You're intrigued enough. You know enough potential about the game. You might as well just get it.
Yeah, I should. But there's also Driver San Francisco for the same price.
Now, what is... explain Driver San Francisco compared to, like... use, like, Forza and Burnout, like Paradise, and then Mario Kart as kind of the barometers.
Well, actually, it's very much like Civilization V. Now, yeah. It is... What did you give? You gave me Forza, Mario Kart, and
like a Burnout, like a Burnout. Open sandbox. Yeah,
it is much more Burnout than anything else, really.
Okay,
it's Forza. I couldn't say at all, although I think it may have some licensed cars. But
Forza, I mean, just you're purely racing. There's no open world, really.
Yeah, no, it is
to it.
No, it's very much an open world, but it's very mission-based. Like, you actually have objectives in the way that, like, Grand Theft Auto is open world, and if Grand Theft Auto stuck strictly to the car and chases and events like that, that would be Driver. Except in Driver, there's this crazy element where your guy's in a coma and he thinks he has the ability, and that's the whole twist. I think at the end you don't. It's all a dream. Hell if I know. But yeah, you're like jumping from car to car, like you're taking over the person.
It's mind jack.
Yeah. So, you know, you're chasing this guy and you can't catch up to him, so you mind jack the guy in the semi two blocks ahead and pull in front of him and he wrecks and you win.
Well,
it sounds fantastic, but I'm not going to buy it.
It's Civilization, man.
I probably will, yeah. Just because, like, I have to build up a massive Steam list just to say I have a ton of games and never play them. So
that's what the Humble Bundles are for.
I know. I bought the Humble Bundle, the last one, for a couple guys.
Well, that I think that's why I haven't actually picked anything up in the Steam sale, is because I've bought all the Humble Bundles, and if you do that, you're pretty much taken care of with PC gaming, except for, like, gigantic releases, because games like Trine 2, and no, but that wasn't one. Osmos, but there's lots of games that you can get, like Super Meat Boy, things like that, that are already that I already had. Frozen Synapse. So yeah, it's tough because I want to buy games. I want to participate in the Steam sale, but all the games I really want to play, I already own in some way. The only one, I guess, that I've picked up is Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, and Gooch, we talked about that the other day. I still haven't played that.
Because you hate good games.
Yeah.
You refuse to play them.
Yeah, which is why I've been stuck on Diablo.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. See, we got you to, we'll talk about that in your segment, I guess, but yeah. We had a lot of fun the other night in that.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, before I guess we talk about what I've been doing, sorry, I didn't mean to, because we're only like halfway through your show notes. What else have you been up to outside of the Steam sale, man?
Outside of Steam sale? Well, I've been playing more Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah?
Not a massive amount, but I think that is really like a big contender for my game of the year.
That's nuts.
It is neat. Like, there's just something about it. And then I heard about this, and I'll never do it, but it sounds fascinating, and that's my goal, to get there, maybe. There's a dragon. Like, once you beat the game and you go through the New Game Plus feature,
okay,
there's this giant dragon that is just monstrous, and you can't kill him on your own. But what you're doing is you're going up to him and you're doing damage and fighting him, and eventually he'll die, because what is going on is while you're doing damage to him, someone else in their game is doing damage to him, and it kind of keeps track of all that. So while everyone's fighting this dragon in their own game, they're really fighting the dragon who is on some server somewhere, and it's keeping track of how much damage everyone does, and he dies. And when he dies, you get rewards based on your contribution.
That's awesome. I like that.
And if you're the guy who actually makes the landing blow, you get something like incredible and, you know, blow your mind. in nerd RPG terms, you get a digital item that blows your digital mind. So, really neat. I'll never do it, but that's sort of, that alone to me says, wow, these guys are really thinking of something neat here. Let me just think here. Oh, I've been playing a lot of Tony Hawk.
You have.
HD.
You've been playing actually a ton of Tony Hawk HD.
Yes, I just completed the game with one character, well, one single normal playthrough with one character about 5 minutes before we started talking earlier, and it is awesome. Like, I love Tony Hawk, but man, F Tony Hawk, it is hard. you don't pick it up. Like, you keep thinking Tony Hawk is amazing and the gameplay will never age. And then I get in and I'm like, holy crap, these physics are terrible. And I fall off my board for no reason.
See, that's what I was going to really ask you about. Is it difficulty because it's an old clunky game and like a weird engine? Or is it because it's just a really challengingly designed game?
It can be both. Really, like, there are some difficult challenges in the game. Once you beat the game the first time through, you do everything, you unlock pro challenges, or I think they call it projective mode or something like that, I forget. It's real lame. But it's like, then it gives you crazy objectives on each level where it is like, score an ass ton amount of points. Do, like, the very first one's like, do a 50,000 point trick on the first level, your first objective, which isn't hard, but starting from the very beginning, doing a 50,000 point trick, where does it go from there? when you go up to, you know, like 9, 10 levels down the way. And what was one of the other ones? It was, let's see. Oh, there's 5 letters, spells combo. Yeah, I had to count that out. And you have to collect all those letters in the same way that you collected the skate letters in all, you know, the other Tony Hawk games, except yeah. You have to do that in one continuous combo.
Oh, man.
Now, they put them in a way that's like, it's kind of saying, you need to go along this way. So you need to hit this rail, and then manual over here and hit that rail, which is cool, but really frustrating because, you know, you fall once and poof, it's over. And they cut your time down to 1 minute. So you have 1 minute to do all this stuff and get these crazy scores. Mm. Anyway, though, I love Tony Hawk, but fuck Tony Hawk, man.
How's the soundtrack?
It is good. It is most, I don't know what percentage-wise, but I feel like it's like 85-90% of the original soundtrack from Tony Hawk 1 and some stuff from 2.
Cool.
And there's a few new songs in there. I'll admit it gets old after a while. It's just like, okay, yeah, I heard this song like 90 times when I was in college. I'm hearing it 90 times today. But I have to admit there was like a big feeling of nostalgia when I started hearing those songs again.
Yeah.
It was great. But it's fun. It's $15. It's pretty neat. Kind of bummed out in some ways. There's no split screen multiplayer. There's online multiplayer, which is all right. And there's only like 8 or so levels, not a ton. No revert, only manuals. And what's the other big thing that was kind of irritating me? They put the downhill levels. Like two of the levels out of the 8 are downhill.
And it's I love those.
Really? Oh man, they kill me. It's the mall and
is it the dam?
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, but here I am like, wow, I really suck at the dam, like really bad. Because I'm going so fast. You're going downhill the entire time. And I'm like, I'm going to do a trick here. Holy shit, I'm at the end. I lost. But it's cool. I would recommend picking it up.
How much is it? Is it like 10 bucks?
It is $15.
$15.
Should have been 10 bucks. But I'm okay. It's an up-res version. You know, it looks really pretty. Plays really neat. You can play as your avatar.
That's cool.
Which is kind of crazy because your head is like huge. You can play as Tony Hawk and a lot of the other pros. Not all the pros are in there. You can play as Tony Hawk's kid, one of them. They put another new girl in there.
That's weird. Are we supposed to know who Tony Hawk's kid is, or is that like, does he have a famous kid?
He has a kid that's, I don't know if he's in the professional scene, but he's like big in the skateboarding world. You know, he's
okay.
Following in his dad's footsteps, making a name for himself.
Gotcha.
I could give a shit less, but yeah.
I just wasn't sure if I was missing like some like pop culture thing. Like, is this like a, I don't know, like Ken Griffey Jr. You know, like his dad was in the pros.
Yeah, no, that'd be great if his kid's name was Tony Hawk Jr.
It'd be easy to make a name for himself.
Yeah, I know. And then he could have a game. It'd be Tony Hawk Jr. And he'd play just like Donkey Kong Jr.
Yeah. Well, Activision. There's a good chance that could happen.
Anyway, though, I'm done rambling. Sorry.
Well, then you guys also, both of you have watched the Dark Knight Rises, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You guys want to talk about that at all?
It was pretty crazy at the end when the zombies end up killing Catwoman.
Oh.
Michelle Pfeiffer. How'd she look dead?
Well, one of the...
Just as good.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the zombies was Heath Ledger, and I just thought that was disrespectful.
That's a lack of taste.
Yeah. I'm sorry, that was bad. That was no, not you. My part.
It's been long enough. You're fine. Well, cool. Gucci said it's really long. It says, is that?
Yeah, like I knew it was gonna be long, but yeah, it's like almost 3 hours, isn't it? It's up there.
Yeah, it was 164 minutes.
Did it feel like you were watching a 3 hour movie, or was it, oh man, that's done, it's been 3 hours?
Go ahead.
I was entertained the whole time.
Yeah, it was good. Although, I'm going to say this, like, for kids, my son would watch this movie and he would say, I haven't seen Batman for 20 minutes, this sucks.
Okay.
Which I'm like, wow, they did this and that. That's really neat.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's sweet. You got to be kind of patient. Like, if you just want, I mean, there's this pure action the whole way, but it's crazy. And the way they tie everything up, like for all three movies, like it's all in here.
Oh, cool. Know? Sweet. Yeah. That's a get completely on movie tangents. I picked up a movie today. A Blu-ray. I bought Aliens.
Oh.
Watched the Blu-ray of Aliens. It's really good. I don't know if I've ever watched actually the director's cut that they re-released. I have no idea. Nothing really looked new. I don't know if I've really seen that movie all the way through since I was a real little kid. My buddy Matt was really into it when we were kids, so he had like the comics and stuff. So I haven't watched that movie in a long time. When you watch that movie on Blu-ray, it is amazing how well Aliens holds up. It's still a really, really good movie.
Yeah.
It's still scary. I jumped a couple times. It was awesome. So I would recommend getting that. Dustin, what have you been up to recently, man?
Playing Resident Evil and listening to Richie Branson.
Yes.
Not at the same time.
No. It make the Resident Evil a little less scary.
Yeah, it's definitely one or the other. You wouldn't want to do both at the same time. yeah, I'm uploading my walkthrough of Resident Evil 2, so that's why I've been playing it. And I was listening to Richie Branson because I saw that they were actually going to him, MC Chris, and another Power dude Glove. Are going to be
Power Glove or something like that.
Yeah, they're going to be playing in Durham.
Oh, cool.
And for a minute, I entertained the thought of going to see him, but I was like, nah, never mind.
At least you entertained the thought.
Yeah, but I did download all his stuff and listen to it.
Very cool. I'm sure that he'll appreciate that just as much. And between Res 1 and Res 2, which one do you like better?
Man, it's like picking between my kids.
Oh, really? You like them both a lot?
Yeah, they're really good. The first one I love because it was the introduction. I remember very vividly my first time playing through with all the different things that happened, like the dogs jumping through the windows, the first time you run up on a zombie, and I remember starting to run out of ammo and like equipping the knife thinking that it would be worth having and trying to kill zombies with the knife and just getting eaten. And then Resident Evil 2 was such a perfection of what they started, and it allows you, like, there are two different scenarios per character, and you can start with either character at any given time. So you can play as Claire in Scenario 1 and then Leon in Scenario 2.
And you're doing both of them for YouTube, right?
Correct. And cool. You could also do Leon in Scenario 1 and Claire in Scenario 2. So you can play through this game in, like, two different ways, two different discs, but, like, four different endings, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Because you play through the Scenario 1 and you get an ending, but you have to play through Scenario 2 to get the real ending.
Yeah. So there's multiple discs. What system is this? Is this PS1?
Yeah, that's what it was released on.
Okay, cool. And there's two discs. Do you have to beat Scenario 1 to play Scenario 2?
Yeah.
Okay. That's sweet.
And they actually did a really good job with the emulation on the PSN version.
Yeah.
You can, if you hit your little PS button and it'll give you that menu like quit game, turn off controller, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
While you're playing that, if you hit that, you can switch the discs.
Does Resident Evil 2 feel like it's two games, or does the second one feel like New Game Plus?
New Game Plus, definitely.
Okay. Very cool. Now, I've never been into Resident Evil series. Is there any new news on 6? I know last week you had mentioned some rumors or whatever.
I hadn't heard anything new, but I'm still excited about it.
Very cool. When's it supposed to come out? Do you know?
I think it's out in October.
Oh, okay. So that's still a ways away.
Yeah, but if I remember correctly, that was when they actually moved, like, they shortened the time before it came out. Like, it was coming out in November, but they actually shortened the time to October.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Well, yeah, man, I'm enjoying those. I think it was the second video. The way you introduce yourself is pretty funny. Okay, I'm Dustin from Classic Elite, in case you didn't already know that.
Yeah, I'll do that pretty often. I'll just start talking about the game and forget that people may not know who I am or who I work for. So,
Who you work for. Yeah, that's funny. Sweet man. What else have you been up to? Anything?
I played some Super Mario Kart.
Super Mario, so regular old Super Nintendo?
Yep. Yeah, I got it free because that whole where you buy the Club Nintendo where you buy stuff and you'll get points for it. So I ended up getting a free copy, and I played some yesterday, and I used to be a lot better at it.
It's really, really hard. I have the real version and the that was one of the very first games that they had available for the Wii coins. And it's great to play it on the Wii, but it's hard. It's really, really hard.
Yeah.
You know what's great about that, though, is you don't have the stupid blue shell, and the red shells are not automatic deaths.
Yeah.
It's very cool. Sweet, man. Then I guess I can talk about what I've been up to. It's weird. Without this long break, we don't have all the stuff we need to cram into an episode. We're back to the normal, oh, crap, we got to stretch this out. So, one thing that I forgot to talk about last week, speaking of Super Nintendo, Dustin, is the SNES Advantage that I had mentioned, the controller with the joystick. I played some Super R-Type with it, and that game with the joystick is amazing. Usually the SNES and the NES Advantage controllers, I don't know, for me, they usually do not create an advantage. It's more just a difficulty thing. And with the Advantage, you can actually change the amount of turbo and whatnot. So you can really ramp it up or kind of pulse it back. It was really, really nice. Or you can have it auto or turbo, where it's just always – it was really, really nice. I was surprised at the amount of customization that I could do. So that made that game really, really a lot of fun. Did you guys get into Super R-Type? I never did. I bought that because I got into collecting as an adult. Did you guys play that much as a kid?
I played it recently, but not as a kid.
Yeah, me either. What an awesome game. I just wasn't really into shooters that much as a kid. I'd never buy them. I'd always rent them, but I wish that I would have. I love them. So,
I had precious few dollars to spend, and I didn't want to spend it on something that I knew was insanely difficult.
Yeah, and... Exactly. I don't know if there's a shooter that I played as a kid that I beat. Or that I could beat. I'd have to think about that. Let's see. Yeah, I mentioned that I bought Sonic Generations on Steam, as well as Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet. I'm not going to lie. I fired up Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, and it looks great. It plays really good. But there's a mechanic. You have to learn the game. It's not just pick up and play. So I am not really interested in playing that yet. I don't want to learn how to play a game right now. But Sonic Generations is really, really good on PC. I'm surprised. There's a lot going on graphically, and my PC can run it just fine, which I'm a couple – I've mentioned before. I don't have the most powerful PC in the world, and Generations is a lot of fun. I'm really glad that I finally have it on. I'm finally glad I just have it again. I really enjoyed renting it on 360. And Dustin, I appreciate you giving me the heads up. You saw it on Newegg for what, like $16?
Yeah.
Was that with free shipping, or would I have had to pay for shipping? Do you know?
Free shipping.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good. And so that made me feel really good about paying $10 for Steam, because I almost didn't buy it. I thought, $10 Steam sale. $10 seems like a lot to pay on a Steam sale. That's a really bad mentality to have, but it does. So I bought it anyways, and it's really, really great. I had my friend Nate over last weekend, and he he's kind of, I guess, what people on the internet might say is kind of a bro gamer. Plays Call of Duty, plays just the AAA titles, Madden. But he also is into the God of War games on PS3, but that's pretty much it. And he does love the old games, though. He still has his 64 that he plays. He still has his NES, and he's like fixed or swapped out the what are those called? The pin connectors. So,
all right.
So it's not like he's a complete bro gamer, but he really hasn't paid much attention to anything outside of that genre of game with any of the newer stuff. And so he was shocked to see what Sonic Generations was, and he was blown away. And then we had a great time playing Rayman Origins. I finally got to sit down and play old school style local co-op. And I forget what podcast was talking about it, but someone, they were talking about the future of gaming being, in a very cooperative, scenario where when you're working together, that's going to be a very popular way for gaming to go versus, it being very competitive, still gaming together sort of a thing. And it was a blast to just play some old school Mario style gaming, with Rayman Origins. That game's awesome. I need a physical copy of that or, some way, I bought it at Gamers Gate, so I need to get it somehow like tied to Steam or something because, I don't know, I want my PC games to all be in one place and all run through kind of the same client. I know some Steam games do that, but Rayman does not, unfortunately.
That's pretty funny that both you and I have played that, but I've played the Vita version and you've played the PC version.
I know, right?
It's kind of known as a console game.
Yeah, exactly. And, well, that's a really neat thing about the way games are going, it's just kind of coincidentally for me because the podcast stuff has happened, but it sounds like a lot of lean forward gaming lean back gaming is coming to PCs, and a lot of people are hooking their PCs up to gorgeous big monitors and using a 360 controller to play a lot of games. And yeah. It's a really, really neat thing to see, and it was, in a few years, it'll kind of be common. These will just be consumption devices, and it was fun to see a buddy of mine have his eyes open a little bit that regardless of what platform you're on, you can get an experience that's going to visually look like today, but feel like what we used to love playing when we were kids. He wasn't really aware that that kind of stuff was available, so that was pretty badass. Let's see here. Also, I have been playing a lot of 3D Land, Mario 3D Land. I know last week I mentioned that I got my cousin involved and really interested in playing 3DS Land or whatever. And it's really, really, really hard to do these special worlds, and it gets to the point where I don't know if I'm going to have to collect every single coin to eventually unlock every secret world, but it's starting to get to be slim pickings to actually be able to unlock new worlds, and the game is really, really challenging. There's a lot there. If you want to try to actually play all the secret worlds, good luck. It's not a short game. That's been a knock against 3D Land. As far as the amount of content, yeah, to actually get through to beat Koopa Bowser, to actually beat him is not that long of a process, but to beat the entire game and actually get to play all that's there is a lot. So if you have not picked up that game, I would still recommend picking it up, even though it's only probably dropped maybe $5. It's probably still $35 for a used copy even. But get it. It's really, really good.
I've got to ask you those something.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Come back to the microphone.
Oh, sorry. No, I got to ask. Like, I thought I was at the end of this game, and now you're telling me there's a lot more to it. Like, I beat Bowser once, and he ran off with the princess, and I got a couple more levels that are hard as balls, and you're telling me there's more to this game?
Yeah. The secret levels are not just... It's a secret world. There's secret world 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And it's not like in the Wii version where there's just a level you go through. Each one of the worlds have their own levels. and set of coins to collect and all that. So, yes.
Oh, man. That is awesome and terrifying. Thank you for filling me in. I kept wondering why my son kept saying, there's twice as many levels, and they're hard.
Yes, that's that would be why. And they're really, really good. They do what Nintendo does, and they really incorporate what you've already learned in the game and, you know, show you what you've already experienced in a more difficult twist. But it's great, and it's challenging, and it's fun. And because I'm not dead set on actually beating the game, it's awesome to have this to pick up and play. I always have my 3DS next to me now, kind of in the living room. So it's awesome. And, Josh, let me know when you are back with your microphone already, because I want to get into talking about some Diablo 3, man.
Okay, I'm right here.
We have been playing a ton. You sound real different.
Really?
Yeah, like completely different. Yeah, you sound like you went from like you're on a laptop mic or something.
What the hell? Let me look at my settings real quick.
So, I don't know. Well, no, don't worry about it. We're good. You sound good enough. So,
do I sound better now?
Yes, you do. That is way different.
Skype changed my default mic for some reason.
Why not?
Yeah. All right.
We get what we pay for with Skype. It's amazing and clunky. But yeah, Diablo 3, man. We've done some Whimsy Shire. I'm in hell now.
Yeah.
It is. That game... It's stupidly hard right now for me. I'm underleveled for hell. I'm doing it wrong because I can't play it.
Well, what we need to do is get you to like what we did when we got you to level 50. We need to go to one of the levels on the previous difficulty towards the end and just grind through monsters for a level or two.
Yeah, that's what I need. Yeah, that's exactly what I need to do, because I'm getting one-shotted and I've switched to a one-handed shield and one-handed weapon attack, and kind of a combination of equipment or whatever, and I'm getting lit up really, really badly.
But you switched your weapon layout, but did you switch your abilities based on that?
Yes. Okay. Well, not necessarily that I did it correctly, but I Googled in someone on a forum, so that's how they had them set up.
Oh, okay. Well, good, yeah, that's what I need to do. I need to start looking into, like, better builds. But yeah, hell is no joke. Like, I feel like the game doesn't even start until hell. Yeah. Christians, you're right. Hell is no joke. No, I'm talking about Diablo. But yeah, like, the difficulty, as you've seen, like, we were playing on Nightmare, just slaughtering these gold rare elite monsters that are supposed to be very difficult, rare monsters that drop crazy good loot. And then you're like, well, they're nothing. And then you get to hell, and it takes us, like, I mean, literally, like, 5 deaths and 20 minutes to take one on.
Yeah, it's
but it was great.
It's awful. It is. But it sucks when you're not around, or one of my buddies that has a character significantly stronger than me isn't around. Because I open it up to the public, and if I don't have someone immediately jump in, I'm getting crushed. And before we started recording, through speaking with you, I'm realizing I'm using the allies wrong, the people that you can get to come with you. What are they called?
Oh, I think there are allies. I don't think you're allies, using them wrong. You're just, people recommend different ones for different things.
I'm using it wrong, dude.
Now, like, I like the Templar because I can't.
When you immediately correct me when I'm like, hey, I'm using the Scoundrel, like, oh, you should be using this for this. That means I'm doing it wrong.
I think the Scoundrel's kind of crap. I think you either need to use the, and there are three. There's a Scoundrel, who's a roguelike character, a Templar, who's very paladin-esque. You know, you can give him a shield and a weapon, and then you have a Sorceress, who's got spells and abilities. She's really useful, too, though, because she does a lot of damage if you give her some, or I should say a lot relative to the other allies you have.
Scoundrel. Yeah, okay.
But she has some stuff, like some crowd control, where she can, like, you know, slow some guys down or turn them into sheep or whatever, or give you like a buff that has your crit or damage doing more stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
Diablo stats. Yeah. But, yeah. But I wouldn't, like, I stopped. I used to open my game to the public because I didn't want to jump ahead of with people, and I wanted to control the flow of everything. And I realized I just needed to jump in public games. Like, I just find a game that's already open, and usually when I jump in, it's already got at least one other person there, so I'm always jumping into a 3 or 4 man game.
Yeah, you gotta go. That's what I need to do. Again, I'm doing it wrong.
Well, no, I don't think so. I think it's fine. I feel like, I don't know if this is true or not, but I feel like their matchmaking system is more like, we need to fill this fourth slot. That takes priority.
Which makes sense, because it feels, and we were talking about this when we were playing, it actually feels like when you get to hell that the game was designed for 4 live people to actually be playing it to succeed.
Yeah, because like, I need to be there with my barbarian, just to give an example, and I need to shout out my thing that gives everyone more defense. Your monk needs to be out there saying whatever he does to give everyone, you know, some health boost. We need someone out there like that magician guy to come out there, and he has this bubble that slows down all the enemies when they come to it. Because once you get all that stuff together, it gets better. And the thing with the multiplayer is when you add more people, the monsters don't hit harder. They just have more life.
Yes.
So essentially, you're giving them more shit to hit. So when they're hitting, like, they hit me for a little bit and then turn around and hit you for a little bit, and they hit the third guy for a little bit, and while we're all beating on him. So it's not like one guy is absorbing all the damage. It's spread out.
Yeah, exactly. And it's because these monsters are so tough, like, that's where the carrot dangling, I guess, really, really works this late in the game, because it does feel like problem solving now. There's a lot of strategy to it. Whereas before, I mean, it was a lot of clicking.
Yeah. Now it's like, get out of the way, go over here, go over there, pull these guys down into here. And then you start really thinking about, like, what abilities do I want?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, it's like, I'm dying way too quickly now. What sort of things can I do and equip? And you go in, and by this point in the game, you have all these options unlocked because you're so far into the game. Whether or not you've been paying attention to what you've been doing, there are options now, like a ton of them.
Yeah, and before we know it, once we get into the Inferno mode, we're going to have to start thinking about, like real mitigation for damage. And this is where I'm super nerdy, and this is why I never get laid. We got to start thinking about resistance. Like, we got to start thinking, like, okay, this boss does a lot of fire damage, so I need, like, resist all elemental effects, or I just need, like, resist fire on my gear.
Yep.
Because otherwise, I mean, I'm just going to absorb all this damage and I'm dead.
Well, and there's going to be some additional, I guess, goals. From what I understand, the president of Blizzard came out and said that there's going to be some additional goals for the people that have hit the ceiling and don't want to do that I'm going to risk everything mode. So... that's really, really cool. And Gucci played some Whimsyshire, man.
Yeah. What do you think?
It is, it's fun. I think the video turned out really good. Minus the fact that I'm a moron when I do video capture. And, it visually is cool. It's not enough enemies.
Yeah, it's just kind of fluff, but it's so different.
It is. It was a drink of cold water. It's My Little Ponies kind of. It's Care Bears. It's really bright, really vibrant, very pastel-y. It's good.
Yeah, and I can't imagine on hell those guys are going to be nasty.
My favorite is the animation when you chase one of the little bears away. Do you guys remember the way that the gummy bears have been animated in the past? That's what they look like, is little running red gummy bears. Pretty sweet. So
they sure don't bleed like gummy bears. That's
no,
all
they
I'm
don't. Gushers, maybe. But they, Diablo 3 is still really fun. When did this game come out? And we're still playing?
Yeah, it's like 6-8 weeks at least. But it sort of slows down. It's like when you hit the middle tier of difficulty and you're kind of grinding on through to the third and fourth tier, you're like,
Yeah.
And then when it starts handing you your ass, it's like the best abusive relationship ever.
Yeah.
Like, I can't leave Diablo. I know I have a black eye, but Diablo loves me.
But loves it. That's the thing is, once it kicks into that difficulty, the social aspect is ramped up again where it's crucial. Before, it was just amazing with how easy it was. Everybody was playing. It's like, oh man, I'm going to play Diablo with my friends. This is awesome. And your friends were just helping level you up quicker than what you would have if you were doing it on your own. And now you have to play with your friends so that you can actually play the game. Otherwise, you're screwed. You're done.
Yeah, but there really is no shortage of people playing the game. Despite the drop-off they reported, you know, like there's not as many people playing, but still, they sold like 6-7 million copies. I mean, ridiculous amount. And anytime,
what's great is it always works.
Yeah, like it's great.
So, very, very awesome. Yeah, check out our video. Josh and I have a video of Whimsyshire up, so if you want to see what it looks like and you haven't already, you can give that a look. Well, guys, let's take a quick break here, and then we will come back with some news provided to us by our good buddy Biff McSkylark, and then we will get into some listener comments and email. Does that sound good with you guys?
Yeah.
Is there anything that we needed to get to, what we've been playing, before we jump into the break?
I think that covered it.
Actually, no. Forget songs. Let's just do a bumper. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Rooster.
And Kevin from the Bear Nerds Podcast. And you're listening to the Classic Lead Podcast. Wow!
Party time.
Woohoo!
All right, everyone. We are back, and we are going to do a new segment sponsored and brought to you by Biff McSkylark. Dave, thank you very much for sending this in and also for the note. It's good to hear from you. I know last episode we had mentioned that we were a little nervous, so we'd fallen out of touch. So great to hear from you, man. So guys, let's go through some of these headlines that he sent to us. I think that we're going to have this be fairly regular. So, Dave, I think is going to be hand selecting some news that's interesting to him for us to read on the show. There was a Kickstarter update that he linked on Facebook, but it's not working right now. So, there's not much with the Ouya Kickstarter update that we can go over, but one thing with the Ouya that we should mention is it looked like, The Verge, lots of tech journalists were saying that it's not really physically possible to actually do this at the cost that they were saying. And I know that there was a response from the woman in charge saying that it is possible or whatever. I don't know. Do you guys have any thoughts on now this being speculated on?
Just as I said before, I think that this is going to end up kind of like the Neo Geo console that was alleged to come out or did come out that people were talking a lot about, and then no one has said anything about it in months.
Yeah, so that'll be interesting. I think we covered pretty much everything that we need to with it last week. So as soon as we hear, though, officially whether it is or is not going to happen, we'll give some updates there. But something Dave sent to us that was really exciting, really interesting, and this might have me actually get to Texas for the first time, a third PAX convention, potentially in Austin. That sounds amazing. To me, anyways. What are your guys' thoughts on a third PAX, and then specifically in Austin?
They just need to do one a month.
Just that would be nice. I do wish that there was one within driving distance. Yeah. Being stuck here in Ohio, that sucks. But
same.
Well, you can't shut up, Dustin. You're in North Carolina. There's enough stuff that comes your way. You guys have the beach too. You get lots of love there. What was just recently? Yeah, you got to see Indie Game the Movie came to you. Mm-hmm. You could have went to go see the Zelda Orchestra was within driving distance of you.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think so. I could be lying there. I'm going to say it was true to make my point, though. Regardless, so anyways, besides, I don't ever want to hear you complain about where you live. That's all I'm saying. You live in a great place. So, Austin, Texas, third PAX convention. Gooch, what are your thoughts on? Would you go to it? That should be my question. Are you more likely to go to the Seattle one, the Boston one, or the Austin one?
I would go to any of them, really, but.
Let's say, you don't have like a financial constraint. You're going to go just kind of based on location and kind of stuff like that.
Then shit, yeah. I would go to any of them. What's the one, name the cities again real quick?
Seattle, and that's the original one.
Oh, okay.
And Boston, and then now Austin.
Yeah, I would go to...
And let's just assume that Austin's going to be great, like the other ones are.
Okay, well, yeah, I would go... I want to go to Seattle because that's like the original, but I would want to go to Austin because it's new. And then, you know, I like new stuff.
I've never been to any of these cities, so there's...
Same.
All three sound... I think I would, assuming that all are very enjoyable, I'm going to go with Austin, actually. I think I'd be more interested to go... I don't know. The original would be pretty cool. I think PAX East is the one I'd be least likely to go to.
So would that be PAX South?
PAX South. PAX... Oh, they gotta, they'll come up with something cooler than that. Because they have PAX East, but then they said PAX Prime. What are they going to call... Yeah, what are they going to call that? PAX South. I don't know. The stars? I don't know. That's... I have no idea.
Longhorn PAX?
That's... I like... That's closer than star. I was thinking like Dallas Stars. That's where that came to me. You've stumped me, man. I have no decent ideas on what the heck they could call it other than PAX South.
Cowboy PAX.
Cowboy PAX. I like that. The lone.
That sounds like a disease.
Yeah.
Came down with Cowboy PAX.
Cowboy PAX.
I was riding a horse all day.
I was riding a horse
all
day.
Got Cowboy PAX.
It's what gamers get. So, yeah, the third PAX potentially is going to be in Texas. I didn't read the article, so I'm sorry. I'm not going to confirm if this is speculation or if they're actually going to do it. But I think, given the three, assuming that they're all fun, that one of them isn't notoriously bad or anything like that, I don't know, man. I think I might want to go to Austin. There's a lot to Austin that I would like to see outside of the gaming also. I think I might go there. Dustin, out of those three, which would you go to?
Probably Boston.
Probably Boston? Oh, yeah. Sweet. That's what we'll do. Guja will send you to Seattle. I'll take Austin. You go to Boston. We'll have them covered. And we'll just report to Tony. No?
Sweet.
You guys like it. Whatever, dude. Nice joke. So, yeah, then we also have a Devil May Cry reboot. There's an article on Kotaku saying that people saying it's turned out better than they thought that it would, and it looks like Dave is probably going to be buying it. Do you guys have any interest in the Devil May Cry reboot?
A little. It can be kind of punishing if you don't learn how to play it.
Okay. I didn't play the games at all previous, so I have no idea. I don't even know what it looks like, to be honest.
Well, at first it was a white-haired anime guy in a red coat, and he was snarky, and he would shoot and hit things with a sword. And now it's a black-haired emo-looking guy in, I think, a normal-looking coat, and he shoots things and hits things with swords.
Okay. So, cool. Is what's the Wii game where the dude kind of had a lightsaber and he was kind of a samurai?
No More Heroes.
Yeah. Okay, are there any similarities visually to that?
Because
that's what I'm picturing.
Yeah, a little bit.
Maybe? Okay. Well, that's cool. Josh, you have any interest in checking that out? Or is Tony Hawk the only reboot you really care about right now?
No. Devil May Cry, I think it looks really cool. I know a lot of people are, you know, they don't like the new Dante, but it got so weird. Like, Devil May Cry 2 was a piece of crap, and Devil May Cry 4 was really weird. And these guys who are making it now, I'm trying to think of the name here, Ninja Theory. They're responsible for Heavenly Sword and Enslaved, which Enslaved is one of my favorite games of this console generation. I have a lot of faith in these guys.
Cool.
So I'm more interested in checking out the new Ninja Theory game than I am the new Devil May Cry.
Gotcha. That's fair enough. That's sweet, though, that a developer has you really interested. They must have made a good choice with who they're having to do the reboot then. Speaking of studios, there's a link here from The Verge that says that there's a small glimmer of hope of 38 Studios coming back.
Oh.
Or not completely disappearing. And Dustin, those are the guys that did the Kingdoms of Amalur game, right? They were the studio responsible for publishing that.
Yeah, I think 38 Studios was doing the MMO based on that, and Big Head Games, Big Huge Games, was the guys directly responsible, the designers of Kingdoms of Amalur Reckoning, which came out, like, I don't know, 6 months ago or something.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Interesting. That was a pretty tragic story, so we'll see.
If something happens with that, I just hope that the people that did lose their jobs end up with something, some kind of income.
Yeah, that they weren't cut loose and then
replaced.
Just the name survives or whatever, and like four people make out, and you know all those people were still screwed over. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But that's interesting. Everybody keep an eye out on what's going on with 38 Studios. Maybe the Amalur name and could end up somewhere else. Who knows? So also, this is very interesting, and I'm sad that we forgot to talk about it last week, and it's the Nintendo 3DS XL. I guess, Gooch, you just bought a 3DS, so I'm really interested in your reaction to this. Did you feel like you got kicked in the junk? Were you upset that you had just bought a 3DS, or did you not blink? What was your reaction?
I was in my head. I was thinking, of course, this is happening. I bought three of these devices, and within like a week or two of me getting mine, they're announcing the bigger, better version for almost the same price. So
it is only $20 more for.
Yeah, I know.
That does suck.
And I was hoping people would come back and say, oh, no, well, you know, it's not that great. Screen's bigger. It's a little stretched out. Now they're coming back saying, it's amazing. This is the 3DS you want to have. This is great. I love it. And they're bastards. I just want bad reviews.
See, my thought process was if there was a second analog stick, I would have really been pissed off. And would have then been tempted to buy a second one. Not tempted, I would have found a way. I would have ended up with it. Instead, it's not. It is just a bigger version. And I really like the original. So I don't actually feel burned at all. If there was a second analog stick, I would have had much more of that feeling or much more of that sense. One thing that surprised me, though, is there were a lot of people that were pissed there wasn't a second analog stick. That was the thing about the, I guess, the community or backlash. That was surprising to me. Were you surprised that there wasn't a second analog stick included? And two, are you surprised that there was a bit of an outcry over that? Dustin?
I personally wasn't surprised that it didn't have a second analog stick, because at that point, if you have developers that are making games specifically for that model, then you've essentially split your market.
I agree. That's what I was thinking.
But at the same time, I understand how people can get upset, because this is the PSP all over again.
In what way?
That Sony released the PSP. It had just a little nub, the little analog nub, and everyone was kind of slapping their forehead over why this thing didn't have a dual analog. And they went through all these revisions with 2000, 3000, and then the PSP Go that had no analog stick, and then they came out with the PS Vita. And this is just that all over again.
Gotcha. Okay. So you feel like they're not really taking the feedback with the hardware revisions, are just kind of putting them out there.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody knows how to screw up handheld systems, it's Sony, and I don't understand why Nintendo didn't look over there.
You know, I think that the biggest thing has to do with what you're talking about, and then being concerned about they created a market of 3D games, and they can't fragment it.
Yeah.
So they already realized that they screwed up by calling it a 3DS. People don't necessarily understand that it is a completely different console compared to what the DSs were. And anyone listening to this cast, of course, is going to know the difference. But you know, some soccer moms might or whatever. So Josh, what about you, man? Are you surprised that they didn't put a stick on?
They were pretty firm with their design, saying they weren't going to change the design of the system. So I wasn't thinking it was going to happen, but it would have been nice. It would have hurt my feelings if they put it in there.
Yeah, I'm glad that they didn't, because it didn't. Again, it didn't make me feel like I needed to buy another one. What's cool is when my original does break, and it is a launch system, so eventually there's going to be some issues with it. It's nice to know that there is going to be a fairly low cost upgrade available already. And it also has me pretty optimistic that there's not going to be a lot of iterations of a 3DS period after this. It's just, it's not. So if that's the case, then hopefully you're going to see Nintendo do everything that they can to keep the 3DS alive versus trying to pump out lots of different versions of the hardware. You know, it'll turn into an experience. And also maybe the bigger 3DS is just a way to get people to tie something a little bit better. Maybe it's a little lot easier to use with your Wii U, because there's probably going to be some sort of crossover with that. So,
I'm also curious, are they going to make the second analog stick attachment for this thing?
Probably. I would guess, wouldn't you think?
I mean...
Maybe not.
Because that first one, you can hardly find it nowadays.
And it only is officially supported by, what, maybe 3 to 5 games?
Yeah.
So Nintendo could have just abandoned it completely.
And like that stand that comes with Kid Icarus, is that thing, does it fit on that thing?
I don't know.
It's a really weird kind of amateur move from somebody like Nintendo.
It is bizarre. They've been kind of clunking their way along with this one.
Yeah.
Luckily, some of the games are still fun. I enjoy having a 3DS, but it's interesting to watch them do what they're doing.
It's like 3D. 3D is the thing that like brings. It's the kryptonite to Nintendo. Like it, Virtual Boy screwed them over, and now this 3DS is screwing them over.
Yeah, but the 3DS is actually fun.
Yeah, that's true.
So, anyways. That's going to cover the news this week, so Dave, thanks a lot for writing in. Any other news points that you guys wanted to talk about? There's a new cool with just his.
I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Yeah, there was nothing that I wanted to get to this week. Nothing super important. And then he also has been busy, so he said sorry for being missing. So we are going to talk here a little bit about the... some of the questions that he has and get into the mail segment and then call it a show this week. So, guys, you mind if I jump in and go ahead and read his email?
Go for it.
So, Biff McSkylark says, that's about it for this week. Nothing groundbreaking, but fun things to talk about. Now for my questions. A lot of games are already announced and being shown for next year. What are you most excited to get your hands on? Me personally, it will be the PS3 exclusive, The Last of Us, then a retro game question. If you could pick one old school platformer aside from Sonic and Mario to reboot and do the current generation, what would it be? He's going with Vector Man or Gunstar Heroes. Excellent choices.
Yeah, good choices.
Those are very, very good questions. Gooch, what is a game next year that you're really looking forward to?
I don't know, like, it sounds crazy to say, but The Last of Us is probably it. I don't have a PlayStation 3, but as much as I loved Uncharted and I love, you know, Naughty Dog, and I could buy the system again, you know, pawn shop it to play this game.
Yeah, you never know.
It looks phenomenal.
So what about you, Dustin? It's a new game.
Dishonored looks good.
Okay.
I don't know if that's... I think that's next year.
I'm really interested to play, like, a Pikmin game. One of the... Whatever is considered to be the best... what's that called? Isometric gameplay?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what they're calling that?
I think so.
the first Wii U game that has the best experience. I guess my first Wii U co-op sort of game like that. That's what I really, really am looking forward to the most. And I won't be playing that, I guess, most likely until next year, I'd imagine. So, something Wii U related. What, man?
I can't imagine how much those another controller is going to be.
Well, probably about $100.
Ugh.
Because the thing is all of the graphics are being processed in the console still. So whereas we have tablets right now, those have like a CPU and whatnot in it. I don't think the hardware is going to have to be really demanding in the actual handheld. I think all the magic is happening in the system. So it's purely a streaming device. So I think because of that, $100. Because you can get a crappy tablet for $100 now. So
that's going to be a good name for a band.
Yeah, crappy tablet.
Yeah.
A crappy tablet for $100. Yeah, for $100 is the first album or the first EP. So I don't know. For me, yeah. Something Wii related. Yeah. And then retro. Dustin, what about you? What's a platformer that you'd go with?
Let's see. There was an awesome game on Super Nintendo called Skyblazer.
I don't know it. What's it? It's a platformer, obviously, but Super Nintendo?
Yeah, it was kind of a brawler slash platformer slash kind of like it had an overworld like Mario 3. It had flying stages. Cool. It was really cool. It was made by Sony Image Soft, I think.
Nice. I would like to see I don't know if it would count, but I'd like to see Sunset Riders.
Ooh, yeah.
Just a lot of people our age like it. And it's not – I think it would get kind of a Simpsons arcade or X-Men arcade sort of reception because there's not a lot to it. But I would like that game quite a lot. What about you, Josh?
It's a 2D platformer that I gotta think of.
Old school platformer.
Old school platformer.
Yeah.
I know I had a lot of time to think about it, but
you know what would do really well is Lion King. If they would have redone the Genesis or Super Nintendo with like an HD polish since they redid the Lion King last year.
I know
that
what
was
I want.
A good game.
I want DuckTales.
Oh,
yes.
Brilliant. You are smart.
I had to think about it, yeah. I just redo it.
I switch. I change. Very, very good. Excellent. Well, you know what? That's a really good question of the week. I'd like to see someone write in with both or either of those. I'm talking to you, British Steel. Because you always comment, and we never ask you guys questions. So... British Steel, man, what would you do with either of those? A game you're looking forward to next year or an old school platformer? Yeah. And if you guys are hearing this and it's like 6 months down the road, write in anyways. We'd love to. This is a really good question. So.
Word.
Sweet. And then British Steel does have a comment here. And he says that he agrees with the... Sorry, I guess I'm taking this too. I agree with the complaints about the PS3 updates. I launched Gran Turismo 5 after not playing for 3 months, and I had an hour of updates. Installed a copy of Orange Box ? 30 minutes before I could play Counter-Strike. What's Orange Box?
That's the Valve, like, 5 games in one. It came with the original Portal... Team Fortress 2, Half-Life 2, and Half-Life Episodes 1 and 2.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay, cool. So now I know what Orange Box is. I hear this is a problem for the Vita as well. He also says that. Dustin, can you confirm that?
I personally don't really have that many problems with the PS3 updates. I think I just play my Sony platforms a lot more, and they... I don't know. I don't have updates like every... time I turn my system on.
Huh.
Either of them.
Interesting. Well, I seem to. Maybe that's the thing is I don't use it frequently enough. He says also that I loved the blues rock song at the end. I will also check out some more of Disaster Piece's work. Yeah, British, I think you, especially if you like the blues rock stuff that he has, based on the other stuff that I've played that you've liked, I think that you will enjoy a lot of what Rich has. And again, that Disaster Piece interview was really fun. It was fun to interview or to actually edit, because I would try to guess a little bit of what he meant during certain things he was saying. So I would try to layer a little bit of that song underneath, and I wonder if I did good or not. From his perspective, I think that the balance was okay. Well, guys, I think that's it for this week. We've been recording for quite a while now, and uninterrupted, which is fantastic and
unprecedented, I think.
Yeah, pretty much. That's what we have to do, is just be nerds and stay in on Saturday nights. Works better. So, guys, is there anything that you wanted to talk about this week that we haven't gotten to yet?
I feel like I forgot something.
YouTube stuff. Tony's got lots of iOS reviews up. Josh and I, like I said, did Whimsy Shire. You've got your Rez stuff going up.
Yeah, if you want to watch the entire original Resident Evil Jill walkthrough, we have that up. And I am about 3 episodes into Claire's Scenario 1 game.
Sweet.
On Resident Evil 2.
Very, very cool. Josh, anything else, man?
No. I'm going to go play some Tony Hawk after this.
Yeah.
In case anyone didn't know that.
I actually thought you were done.
I am done. F that game. Going to turn it on here in a minute.
Yeah, sweet. Well, good luck. Good luck to you. Don't throw your controllers. Don't break them.
Who'd you beat the game as?
Tony Hawk.
Oh, right on.
Not very original, but yeah.
Is that like a Tiger Woods sort of scenario where you could be like John Daly or Sonny Tiger Woods or Tom Watson or whatever?
Yeah, although he's not like godlike. You know, like okay. Tiger Woods in his games is generally like really, really good.
Yeah.
But no, he's average. You actually build, you buy the stats like you do in those games and you build your character up. So Tony Hawk now is amazing.
Oh, sweet.
So, yeah.
Very cool. All right. Well, everyone, before we sign off, we need to thank our sponsors of the show, Doghouse Systems. Make sure to level up at doghousesystems.com. Yeah, I have an older PC from them, and I'm crunching out lots of PC games and reviews. So check out them. They do a really good job putting a system together, especially if you aren't sure what you're doing. They will put one together for you the right way. And then also Hapog and Aver Media, just awesome, helping us out with our HD content. And then also need to thank Gamersgate and G2Games.com, as well as Gamer here in Findlay, Ohio. And you need to check out our stuff at G2PO.com, GotGame.com, GameFire, and of course, Yaush. You can find us on Twitter, that's @ClassicLeet, and we have a Facebook page, Facebook.com/ClassicLeet. You can subscribe to us on YouTube and iTunes. I forget to mention that we're on iTunes, like, all the time. I guess we don't have any idea what kind of traffic we get from iTunes. I wish they'd share that with us. It's just free for them. Anyways, thank you for listening to episode 93, and we'll see you guys next week for 94. Thanks a lot. Genesis, when I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. Yo, I had both consoles. My friends were envious, even though I blew money on games, so I was penniless. I remember times way back far, when I was on the Sega Genesis playing Phantasy Star. Saved up some cash from mowing the neighbor's yard, and I bought a Super Nintendo and Mario Kart. I remember getting Hurricane Kicks in, that's Ken and Street Fighter 2 Championship Edition. I moved on as soon as I had permission to play Mortal Kombat as long as I clean the kitchen. Broke nerdy kid never rocked the best fashion. Spent my last on Chrono Trigger to X-slash him, and that was the root of my video game passion. Playing classics on 16-bit graphics. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, when I was dead.
remember jamming Juicy by Notorious. During boss battles trying to be victorious, I had attention deficit, blue pills like Morpheus. I just defeated Dr. Robotnik, I'm feeling glorious. Really wanna go back to those days as a kid in his crib playing video games. I'm jumping up and down trying to dodge Bowser's flames and doing spinning kicks and skates in Streets of Rage. I used to play as the Bulls in NBA Live. In the time when Michael Jordan was playing 99, I was so clutch making pressure shots every time. I even played better than number 23 in his prime. When it comes to shooting games, my aim is so hot. Used to play Wolfenstein, them Nazis got shot. Make no mistake, I love my Xbox, but I'd rather be doing barrel rolls and Star Fox.
Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis.
Hold on.
When I was dead broke, man, I couldn't picture this.
Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis. You gotta be old school if you remember this. Heaven sent, felt like I was on top of the universe, cause I'm popular, no stopping the kid. Man, I wasn't calling no girls, I was clearing 96 levels on Mario World, huh? Mode 7 versus Blast processing. Mom and dad glad because they can stop stressing. Guessing on my whereabouts, I was at Eric's house playing Madden 95, trying to air it out. In the UK they call it SNES, on my block they call it Super. I had it before all the rest. Final Fantasy 2 leveling up. Couldn't get Street Fighter, it was $70. What?